What's good? What's good? What's good? Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Block Report Podcast, and we are reporting to you live. For sure, for sure. I am your host, Tafari XL, and this has been brought to you by TDK Visions, Inc. Now, guys, we're starting this out, and I want to say I've been appreciating the audience and you guys picking up and listening, viewing and listening to the episodes that we've been dropping. I do appreciate it. And I believe on the last podcast, I mentioned that I was going to do my very best to get this thing going in a more streamlined way and to bring more information to you guys. Well, I'm working on that promise as well. I want to say that I'm thankful for all those that have listened in, and also all those that are tuning in and continue to tune in. Now, check this out, guys. Remember that the podcast, you can find it on Spotify, Apple, Google. Where else? A bunch of places. It's all over the place. Of course, Anchor, of course. But yeah, on all your favorite podcasting networks and platforms, as well as on Breaker and others. Also, you can reach us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, we have the Block Report Podcast page on Instagram. Instagram at theblockreportpodcast. All right. And also on Twitter at TafariXL. That's TafariXL. There's a lot of things that's going on. And for me, a lot of the times, see, because I like to try to get on here with you guys and just hit the information and not stay on here for too long. But there's just so much that's going on. And of course, I want to be as informed as possible before I come out here and say something, because I don't really like always talk. I'm not really trying to talk from the hip unless it's something that I'm decently informed on about already. So it takes time, and I got to do my research. Now, guys, I've been watching something. If you notice, I believe our last episode was on the anti-Asian hate campaign and propaganda in New York City. Well, here's my follow-up on that. We're going to talk about that on this episode today as well. So, there was an article here. That was on... That came out on Monday. Was it Monday? Monday, May 3rd. Yes, May 3rd, Monday. And it was in the AM Metro News. So it says that here. We're going to just go ahead and jump into it, guys. So we're not going to do too much talking because I'm not trying to be on here too long. And plus, I want to bring y'all the information and get all this content out here to you guys as quick as possible so that you can consume. Because I know everybody's busy. You don't have time to sit around and listen to a... you shouldn't have that much time. But to sit around and listen to a podcast for 2, 4, 5 hours. So I'm going to be respectful of your time and try to condense and bring this information as condensed and concise as possible to you. So here we go. The continuing unabated rise in anti-Asian violence came to head on Sunday as over 1,000 marched in Queens to protest the unprovoked attacks, which have been plaguing the city. Beginning in Flushing, a who's who of elected officials and renowned individuals gathered at 13730-35 Northern Boulevard on the steps of the neighborhood's town hall. Here, hundreds watched as the likes of Reverend Al Sharpton, Mayor Bill de Blasio, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Queens Borough President Donovan Richards, and many, many more rejected injustice it rejected injustice to much applause and fanfare. We must stop profiling the Asian American, profiling of Asian Americans. When we saw an attack in Harlem against an Asian American, we don't need to send a message. We need to come and bring the message. When blacks attack Asians, black leaders need to stand up. When whites attack other whites, whites need to stand up. I've come to tell you that we are not going to stand by and allow hate between one another. You can't fight hate against one without fighting hate against all, Reverend Al Sharpton said. Adding hate is wrong no matter who the victim is. De Blasio also spoke, but as a polarizing figure, the mayor garnered a mixture of cheers and jeers. If you love New York City, you can't take the contributions of the Asian American out of it, because the only way we are New York City today is because of what all Asian Americans have done for us. So anyone who hates Asian Americans hates New York City too, hates America too, and won't be accepted in New York City. If you hate, get the hell out of here, because you don't belong in New York City. We will stand together, Mayor de Blasio, Bill de Blasio said. Just took a sip of water, guys. As the article continues, I'm going to talk about, I'm not just going to read this article, I'm going to talk about these individuals and what they're saying and how they're very opportunistic in the words that they choose to use and the language that they choose to use, and how they are very misleading, detrimental to society, in my view. Let's continue. Led by Queensborough President Donovan Richards and co-hosted by Congress member Grace Meng and New York State Attorney General Letitia James, the Solidarity March was dubbed We Belong Here. Queens rises against hate. This anti-hate march united individuals from all across New York City to stand against the recent racial injustices targeted on the Asian American community. New Yorkers from every borough traveled to Flushing, where they stood beneath the looming shadow of speakers hoisting American flags over their heads and waving signs reading "Stop Asian Hate" and "Hate is the Virus." Police officers from Community Affairs directed traffic, parting the demonstrators for motorists to make way. Those in attendance championed every politician and community leader who took the time to spend the afternoon denouncing hatred, such as Senator John Liu, who has continuously voiced his disgust with the atrocious crimes being committed against Asian Americans. Racial slurs, verbal abuse, and violent attacks have heightened since the dawn of the pandemic, where individuals have scapegoated Asian Americans for the coronavirus pandemic. Liu says that these demeaning acts will not be tolerated. Okay, these are not, except for the time when the deranged, or deranged, racially motivated, some of them racially motivated individuals go out and shoot and kill a bunch of Asian people or murder them. They don't speak about the anti-Asian hate in that respect. They're talking about people who had racial slurs, arguments, verbal abuse. Maybe one or two people were attacked physically, but they didn't lose their life. Not only that, they didn't lose their life from a member of society who was paid by the public, like a police officer. But this is a pressing issue. We need to get to this, and we need to pay attention to this and deal with this. This is the narrative that is being delivered by these individuals. We are here to say we are not subhuman. We are not dogs. We are not a virus. We are not coronavirus. We are people. We are humans. Senator Liu said at the We Belong Here Queens Rises Against Hate rally and march in Flushing. Now, the person who wrote this article in AM New York Metro paper, for some reason, as soon as they got to this part, the last part here, which Senator Liu said this, that we belong here, everything had a hashtag added. So apparently this person is trying to, this cannot be by accident. Like, this is not a typo. Apparently they're trying to promote that this is the way to try to promote this article or the messages that were delivered in there. And you're supposed to pick up on this. This is, to me, but this would look like to be a signaling. They're trying to signal to you for you to hashtag these words. Queens, hate, march, Flushing. Those words as such. Or either, AAPI Heritage Month. Hashtag there again. So, but on, or unless they just went ahead and they took this from Senator Liu's Twitter or social media page where all these hashtags are there. So this person is really either signaling or doing some lazy, shoddy work. Now, I could take some time to look this up and figure this out for you guys at this time. But there's other things. I want to get to other things as well into this program. So we're not going to go in and delve into that too much. If that's a big issue for you to figure that part out, I'll just keep making a suggestion. What I'm seeing here in this article. And you can find this article, like I said, it's the May 3rd, Monday, May 3rd, 2021 article, We Belong Here, Over 1,000 March Against Anti-Asian Hate in Flushing, in AM Metro New York paper, page 4. So you can find it for yourself and see exactly what I'm reading so that, you know, you can see that I'm not just talking out of my hat. It does say, at the end of it, it says pic.twitter.com. So obviously they got this from his Twitter page, the senator's Twitter page, because I was wondering why all this hashtag stuff was there. Anyway, as we continue with the article, Dean Moses, and more adding, Dean Moses, May 3rd. Okay, so Dean Moses is the one who wrote the article, but they ended this portion of the article or kept this with a tweet from, shows you how far tweets have gone. Tweets have become substantially significant in media these days now. So let's finish. He, in conclusion of the article, this part right here. We are here to say we are not subhuman. We are not dogs. This looks like, all right, this is more of a repeat. This is a repeat. All right. And then this part, it goes, it says, we are humans. We are sons and daughters. We are mothers and fathers. We are aunts and uncles. We are Americans. We are New Yorkers. And we must have the same equal protection under the law and equal treatment by the government, Lou said passionately. After hours of speeches, hundreds upon hundreds of marchers took to the streets and began their trek, with Richards, Lou, and Meng guiding the way. A sea of humanity made up of every race, color, and creed followed. Chants of Stop Asian Hate could be heard for blocks as the voices of many cried out as one. Okay. Now, here on this program, the Block Report Podcast, which originated in New York City. That's why we're reporting on what's going on in New York, and we want to really get focused on that. But we report on a lot of things that go on around the United States and the world. If you viewed or listened to some of the episodes that we've published. So, first thing we want to say is that we are not about hate here. We don't promote hate. We don't promote hate in anyone. The views that are expressed by the host are the host's views and only the host's views. And what we are seeing here is that there's some disingenuousness that is going on, a bit of dishonesty that is going on here. And as I said, it was a propaganda campaign, this anti-Asian hate situation. Now, I'm not saying that some people didn't get assaulted physically. Asian people weren't assaulted physically. I'm not saying that there wasn't any sort of verbal arguments that Asian people went through. But the first thing I want to say and remind people is that you could go down into any neighborhood where you could find what would be considered a majority of black people that live there, and I wouldn't be surprised if you couldn't find anywhere from 3 to 4 businesses owned by Asian people on one block. Within several blocks of each other. And then another set of them where it's 3 or 4 of them that own more businesses and property in that neighborhood. The black people in those neighborhoods are the economic base of these Asian people that have their businesses there. So things were going along as per usual, because the beauty supply store the Asian people own, the Chinese food store you go to, the Asian people own and you buy their Chinese food. Sometimes they own the supermarket or the little grocery that's around there. So this idea of this anti-Asian thing, this is a false narrative. It's a false flag. There may be certain individuals who have some sort of personal issue, but there's no such thing as black people as a group that are hating Asian people. Because how could you hate a group or be hating on a group and still be their economic base? They have the hair supply shop, the Chinese food store, they have the nail salon, they have little grocery, the 99-cent store, all in the black neighborhood. The laundromat, all in the black neighborhood. But what they want you to believe is that somehow black people are colluding and grouping up together to attack Asian people. This is a lie. In addition, what this was really stemming from is that as the coronavirus had really started to take hold in the United States, some of that economic base ended up decreasing. The Asian people with their businesses weren't making as much money as they were before. And so in turn, them colluding with their other these other individuals that wanted to turn the conversation away from defunding the police and reparations and a black agenda, turn the conversation away from black people that are demanding that the police are punished when they murder and kill black people. They decided that this anti-Asian hate thing was the thing to go with because it was attacking their economy. Black people have dead bodies in the street. Asian people have an issue where someone, so far as what I've seen, what has been reported, are people having arguments or verbal, maybe throwing words at them. Black people lose their lives in these streets. It's not an equivalent. It's not the same. Yet, there was in the COVID-19 Act, they called it the COVID, they cloaked it by using a different name, the COVID-19 Act or bill or whatever that was recently passed, they had an anti-Asian hate initiative in there, which basically gave funds to the Asian community. As I said, this whole thing was an economic thing. But yet you had Vice President Kamala Harris tell black people before she became vice president that no, she's not going to do anything solely for black people. But here, a whole act and law and money has been put aside for the AIAAPI community. And I know some people might feel some kind of way about me saying this because what is this, AAPI Heritage Month and all this and all that. But the thing is, I have to expose and speak. I have to expose the lies and the frauds and the phonies and the deceit and bring to light the truth and bring it with a certain level, bring it into context. Because this is just, it's just not right to do this. So now, you have, so like I said, within Biden's first 100 days, passed a law and an act to protect Asians and give them and provide and give them resources. And all Biden said, when black people said, "Well, we're not sure if we're gonna vote for you," some black people said, "We're not gonna sure if we're gonna vote for you." Biden said, "Well, if you don't vote for me, you're not black." this is what you get for your vote. Now, let's get to some of the speech that was said by some of these individuals here. You got crookish Reverend Al Sharpton. Now, this dude, I mean, he has a long track record in history. And he, you know, essentially started out as a hero, somewhat of a hero and respected person to a lot of black people. Until people started getting a hint of his get down. Great speaker. And he can really draw people to him. He's gifted in those ways. Won't take that from him. But in all of his time, of all of the work that he's been doing, there's still a long list of bodies all over the place. And all he does is he gets, maybe from time to time, invited to speak at someone's funeral or for their cause to bring attention and bring cameras and attention to a black person killed by the police or some deputized white supremacists, suspected white supremacists. Now, he comes and he joins this, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with him doing this, doing what he was doing as far as marching with them. I guess he could say that goes along in the lines of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But I would say you got to first take care and shore up home base first before you go out there marching for others. In addition, they did this march in Flushing, Queens. If you go to Flushing, Queens, especially in Little China, I don't know if it's Little China or Little Koreatown or whatever, but there's a certain part you go to Queens, especially you hit like Main Street and Roosevelt Avenue. For those of you that are not from New York, if you were to head out, come to New York and go to Queens and take me to Flush, New York, tell them to drop you on Main Street and Roosevelt Avenue. That's where a lot of the shopping and stores will be at. And over there, you're not going to find one black business over there. And it's all Asian people. And let me reiterate, and let me bring this point to it too. Since you won't find any black businesses over there, let me just remind you that like I said, they have the Chinese food store, the beauty supply store, the nail salon, and all this and all these other stores where they're taking in black people's money and in black people's neighborhoods, but they don't spend any of that money in that neighborhood with those black people. They're not going to a black-owned store and spending money with them. Black people might have a little restaurant or a little deli grocery or a little hardware store or a little small store, any kind of little store. They got these Asian people that are getting money in those neighborhoods are not spending any money there with those black businesses. They take from the neighborhood. They don't give to the neighborhood where they get their living from. But you can't go to Flushing. You can go to Flushing and you, as a black person, there is no black business in that neighborhood at all. And there are parts of that neighborhood you would go through that there's places where they don't even have English writing. They'll have their native language writing. So you can't even read or know what the hell that store is about or what's going on in there. They make that neighborhood totally theirs, their own, Just like if you come across the Brooklyn Bridge from Brooklyn into Manhattan, I believe it's the Brooklyn Bridge. Yes, it is the Brooklyn Bridge into Manhattan. You'll be right down there in downtown Lower Manhattan, which is called, in this particular area, is called Chinatown, which is right where the Bowery is, right below the Bowery. And say you start heading north, you head up to you go up Bowery Street and over there and all that. And as you come across that bridge and land in Manhattan, the first few signs you'll see and everything will not be written in English. It'll be a while. You have to walk a couple of blocks before you see something that you can read in English. It's totally Chinatown. So they're not catering to you, and they don't care for you, but they will take your money. And you might see one or two people in a march for Black Lives Matter or something, one or two Asian people for the march for Black Lives Matter. But I don't remember any of these certain representatives here come out and speak out or speak for any black person that was harmed or murdered by the police. Any this John Liu guy, this Grace Meng person, none of these people. So what I'm saying is that the energy is not reciprocated, but Al Sharpton never saw a camera he didn't like. A camera or a microphone he never saw, one he didn't like. So he came out now and said, what was this crap he said? We must stop the profiling of Asian Americans. Who's profiling them? What is he talking about? Who is we? I don't know who this we is. What kind of we is he talking about here? And then he claims this attack in Harlem. Like, I didn't see the attack in Harlem. And I am seeing different news reports of certain people that appear to be black attacking Asian people. And I find it very strange. I find these attacks to be very strange and odd. But not only that, there's not a mass of black people running around attacking Asian people. As I said, how would they be able to maintain and keep their businesses in the black neighborhoods? So these are one-offs. And this is also, in my opinion, a strategy used because since people were talking about defund the police and punishing the police, this is a strategy being used to get voters, especially black voters, black people that are scared because they're seeing this in the news. They're like, oh no, that's so wrong. It's terrible. And they're going to vote for some Democrat or some politician who's all they're going to, their whole plan is what they're going to do is they're going to get funding to fund the police more money. But no police will get punished for the crimes they've committed against black people, but they'll get more money. And Al Sharpton, he knows this game. He's not dumb. And him participating in this is a disgrace. So he says here, we don't need to send a message. We need to come and bring the message. What the hell does that mean? When blacks attack Asians, black leaders need to stand up. When whites attack other whites. Now, he didn't say when whites attack black people or when Asians attack black people. Do you guys remember? There were videos running around all around on social media of black women being attacked in these Asian nail salons by these Asian people, getting beat with sticks and brooms, and the men were attacking them, not just the females. The males in those stores was attacking them. People were running around protesting these stores and working to get them shut down after they attacked black women. I didn't see Al Sharpton coming around then. I didn't see Grace Meng and John Liu coming out and speaking out then. And then the guy's going to say, when whites attack other whites, what that got to do with you? You black. You see him? And he... Now, this could be... I wasn't there. I didn't hear the speech. This could have been edited and put differently by this author. So, I'm going off of what is written in this. Now, unless this changes and it says something different, okay then, I will correct myself then. Until then, my word stands. So it goes on to say, I've come to tell you that we are not going to stand by and allow hate between one another. You can't fight hate against one without fighting hate against all. Well, talk to your Asian counterparts, your Asian community. Where were they in the fight against hate that and the murder and slaying of black people? Where were they? Where were they? When the officer Peter Liang in Brooklyn, an Asian man, shot and killed a Kai Gurley in Brooklyn, I didn't see the Asian community come in and stand up for him. Know what they did? They marched and protested. After Peter Liang got convicted, they marched and protested to try and get him free. And he killed someone. Went ahead. The man was convicted. And then what happened? The prosecutor at the time, the DA at the time, Ken Thompson, a black man, went up and told them, oh no, we don't think he should do any time. Give him 6 months probation for taking a life. Where was that? That was the Asian community. That was their stance then. Their stance was, oh, well, you don't punish the white cops. Why are you punishing the Asian cop for killing it? I was going to say the N-word. So this... This is foolishness. And that's why you got to look at Sharpton as a very peculiar individual. Now, I have personal experience with Al Sharpton, but we're not going to go into get into my personal experience with him. But as I said, I have personal experience. So when I read this and I've seen his history over time, it just confirms the thoughts that I've always had about him. So let's further continue. So I said, okay, yeah. Fight and hate against all, which the Asian community does not do as a group. They don't fight for any other community. So stop this. Right. Then de Blasio with his dumb self gets up there. De Blasio with his dumb self gets up there. And basically, all that's happening is that Sharpton and de Blasio are clout chasing. And they're trying to be relevant and be in front of a camera and all this stuff. De Blasio, Sharpton doing this, he's not a politician. He's not running for a position. So I don't know why he's jumping out there like that. De Blasio, I can understand him. He's a politician. He might want to get reelected, or he might want to get elected to another position. So he's going to play that part. He's going to shake the hands, kiss the babies, kiss ass, and do all this and talk sweet words. Sharpton, though, just does it for, I don't know, his purpose. But obviously, he's getting something for it. You know, I mean, maybe that's how he got that show on TV. Now, de Blasio said, let me get to, I'm trying to get to the part, because he said a few funny things in there, and I wanted to say something in regards to that. So he starts talking about the only way we are New York, right. So he starts talking about, here it goes. So let me just read it from the top. If you love New York City, you can't take the contributions of the Asian Americans out of it, because the only way we are New York City today is because of what all Asian Americans have done for us. Excuse me? This dude, the way he said that is almost as if he's saying Asian Americans built New York City. Listen to the words that he's saying. See, I know a lot of you, you know, you're so concerned about other things like what people think of you and how you look to other people. And maybe your job or some sort of significant other or some significant roommate you living with. And you're concerned about what the hell all of that stuff is about. So you don't have time to parse through the language and the words that are being said by these public officials and individuals. And because of that, you never take them to task on what they say. But you'll take your behind out there and go vote for people who don't have your interests at heart. Vote for parties that don't have your interests at heart. Because you don't have any interest. You don't tell them what it is you want. You let them tell you what you want. You let them tell it is what they think. You let them tell you what it is that they think you want. The politician does not set the agenda for the people. The people set the agenda for the politician. And he has to adhere to the people's agenda and bring through points of their agenda, follow through on it, so that the people can find be confident in his performance, so that his or her performance, so that the people will be confident in their performance to go ahead and say, okay, we can reelect you because you have our vote of confidence, because you promised to stick and hold to these points that we told you we wanted to see, and you brought it through. That's how this thing goes. But if you think that you're voting for people because the person just went ahead and told you what it is the agenda and the policy should be for you, then you got no say. Or you over here talking about, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils, or I don't like the way that person talk. They're like too boastful with their racism. I'd rather a more shy racist than a boasty racist. Anyway, let's continue, okay? By the way, we're going 45 minutes now. And just to say that this is the Block Report Podcast, brought to you by TDK Visions, Inc., and I'm your host, Tafari XL. And we're here talking about the march that was in Queens for Stop Anti-Asian Hate, against anti-Asian hate, the march that was in Flushing, Queens on May 3rd. So, right, so as I said, de Blasio, the way when he said these words of about, the only way we're in New York City is because of all the contributions Asian Americans have done for us. What is he talking about? As I was saying, you know, the Asian Americans don't have an attachment to New York City like black people do. And I'm talking about an attachment as far as a history, a historical attachment. Right now, right there in Manhattan, right not too far from the World Trade Center, some years ago, they found a burial ground. The burial ground, which they built some bullshit, they were trying to build some bullshit or whatever over the burial ground and all that. But they found a burial ground of Africans that were probably brought here as slaves over there. Africans have a history in New York City for hundreds of years. And you telling me some shit about some Asians? It wouldn't be New York City if it wasn't for Asians. These people like to lie with their tongue. He's kissing ass right now. Kissing ass to the Asians. So, next line he says, so anyone who hates Asian Americans, no one talking, whatever, he starts talking all this, who hates or whatever. Daniel Pantaleo, who choked out, murdered, and killed Eric Garner. De Blasio, weren't you mayor at the same time while this guy was getting paid while suspended? He was suspended with leave and getting paid. And he's on camera choking and killing a black man. You talking about hate? Who hates need to leave the city? He got away unpunished. Probably got to keep his, possibly if he got suspended with paid leave, I believe he also got to keep his pension. So he can go ahead and collect funds when it's time for him to retire. And he's on camera there choking needlessly a black man saying, I can't breathe, choking him to death. And the video shows right before how extremely and hyper-aggressive he was. See here now, you says, and anyone who hates Asian Americans hates New York City too, hates America too, and won't be accepted in New York City. And all this stuff. So, guys, I'm just showing you, you know, the hypocrisy of these individuals, your elected officials and so-called leaders in the community. They're full of it. They're just opportunists and people who never met a microphone and a camera they didn't like. Well, anyway, guys, look, that's pretty much it that I'm going to go as far as that. I was going to add some other details and information, things that went on in the city as well. But what I believe I'll do, I'll put that on another episode and tie it all in with a few other things, because we already have gone almost an hour now just on that one article. And I mean, that article takes like, maybe would take like 3 minutes to read. But just for me going on about all the stuff that was said in there, and just, just pointing out the ridiculousness and the messaging that is destructive coming from these so-called leaders and public officials, and showing you that this stuff is just garbage that they're doing. Take some time. So we're gonna close it out from here. Appreciate you tuning in, listening to the podcast. Definitely, if wherever the podcast you see it, if you can like it, like it. If you can share it, share it. If you can leave a comment, leave a comment. Also, I believe there's a way you can rate us on the different platforms where the podcast is shared. Please give us a rating. Hopefully you'll give us a 5-star rating. And also, you can reach out to us on the blockreportpodcast@gmail.com. The Block Report Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter @TafariXL. You know, just want to make sure, you know, guys, because what I'm saying is, remember, I know I prefaced this, but I'm going to make sure I end this episode with this as well, that I'm not hating on anyone. I'm not hating on anyone, okay? I don't hate anyone. What I'm doing is I'm exposing the lies, and I'm bringing the truth to light, okay? There is a strong campaign of propaganda and lies that are being put out there, and images. Because the media lies with images and words. Every day they do this. All day, every day. And then you have these other individuals, like these politicians, public officials, and so-called leaders and celebrities, pseudo-celebrity types, that come out there and for their own specific purposes and reasons, they wreak havoc on the black community. And a lot of people don't see what's going on. Some people see it, some people don't. Because one of the hardest things for people to do is to think. You can tell, because people just want to be entertained. And they don't want to think. That's why a lot of people don't want to do their own business. That's why a lot of people won't study how to start a business or scale a business or how to get into real estate and be a real estate investor. That's why a lot of people duck and dodge a lot of things, because it requires you to think. Requires thinking. To be a free person, you have to think. But if you don't want to think, and you want to let all the thinking be done for you, then it's a lot easier. There's no risk when you don't have to think. You don't risk losing anything. Well, not anything that you could measure, You could risk losing your future. You could risk losing a lot of things by not wanting to think and figure things out. So, and ultimately, what this is, because you can't measure your future, because there's no what it's going, no way, you know, it's not, you don't know how it's going, you don't know what that's going to be. Your future is not something where, like, you can measure it with a measuring stick or a gallon jug or something, you know, whatever the hell. So, but, not wanting to think could get you in trouble. And it will cost you a certain type of lifestyle. And although, yeah, you could live a long time. You could live, maybe you would live less time if you thought and you ended up, you know, took some thoughts and then took some risks and made some stuff happen or whatever. And, you know, you ran into other situations. But once you get yourself trained into thinking and how to think and what to think about and thinking properly, it becomes nothing to you, and you start making decisions a lot easier. Because you can listen to people. Most people in life, what happens is they look at things and they hear it and they look for the negative. And as soon as they see the negative, they're turned off from it. Someone could have told you, I go around the corner and, oh man, two guys jump me and beat me up. So somebody said, well, I never go around that corner. Now, you don't know why that happened. What was the reason or purpose or whatever? It may have nothing to do with you. But you don't want to take that chance. You just say, oh no, something happened to him around the corner. What makes you think it's going to happen to you? Not saying that you should go around the corner. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be scared to go around the corner. You shouldn't be scared to think. You shouldn't be scared to try, to venture. With risk comes reward. But you gotta think. Learn how to think, what to think, to make making decisions easier. Because once you get to that point, you'll be 100% comfortable with the decision you made, because you know you thought about it from all ways and all angles. All right, I know I kind of went a little bit off topic of what was going on here tonight in the episode a little bit, but that piece will help you too if you really hear what I'm saying. And of course, I understand. And this is only for those that want to hear what I'm saying. This is not for everyone. This is only for those that can hear it. All right, guys. So, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. As I said, when you hear it on the platform, like it. Like it if you can like it. Share it if you can share it. Comment if you could comment. And you can reach us on the Block Report Podcast at gmail.com. You can find the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google, on Breaker, and other podcasting platforms, as well as on Anchor, of course. And I want to thank you so much. Have a great time, great week. You will be hearing from the Block Report Podcast soon. And peace, y'all.